My guest, Derek Miedema, researcher and author of the report, Getting Ready for the Boom, done for the Institute of Marriage and Family in Canada. Derek, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much. Good to be here.
A little bit rhetorical. Are we ready? Did your research give you any answers?
Well, the research that I underwent for this report dealt with the expectations of long-term care home staff. And so it wasn't so much an issue of asking, are we ready? It was
sure.
An issue of, what do you expect to be happening when the baby boomers enter your facilities?
If the facilities exist, or are you assuming they will?
This was a survey of 25 long-term care homes in Ottawa.
Yep.
So it was a survey of frontline staff and what they expect to change when baby boomers enter their facilities. So it's a survey of actual facilities that do exist today.
And was the finding that boomers are going to be different clients, different patients than those before them?
Yes, and that came out in a couple of different ways. It came out, a number of respondents found that they expected baby boomers to expect higher levels of care than previous generations.
Yeah.
A simple example, in Ontario, the Ministry of Health and Long-Term Care is what looks after long-term care homes, and that may be nursing homes in other parts of the country. It's those homes that take care of the people who are in need of round-the-clock care. The ministry guidelines call for 2 showers or baths per week, and a baby boomer going into that home would want a shower a day.
Hey,
and
I would.
I'm not a baby boomer, but I would too.
I am, and I would.
And from the perspective of a long-term care home, if they're staffed for that ministry standard, they can't all of a sudden jump up from 2 to 7 without adding more staff.
Okay.
More demanding. I think another area was, and this is understandable too, that fewer baby boomers would be willing to live in shared accommodations. So there'd be more call for private rooms, which is going to cost more. And are the long-term care homes going to be able to bear that cost? Are the seniors themselves going to be able to bear that cost? Government subsidies are only a small part of this equation, but is the whole system going to be able to bear that cost of more private rooms?
Derek, cost is clearly a big issue. You would expect the boomers to be better financially prepared for their sort of last years, but it turns out maybe they're not. And so the high expectation is there, as you said, but do they have the money to pay for it?
Well, and my research didn't dig into that. I didn't ask, I didn't survey baby boomers as to their ability of saving, but it is raised as a question in response. Someone who wants a private room, will they be able to pay for it? It's an open question, and that compounds the issue in the sense that if someone's coming in with higher expectations, a long-term care home isn't able to provide it, and they're not able to pay for it themselves, that's quite a situation to deal with in terms of the long-term care home dealing with the family of the resident and the resident themselves.
Well, interesting that would be part of your discussion. I'm going to be talking about that with my next guest, Brian Lee Crowley, about this boomer generation, and as the bulk of us move through, there's fewer workers behind to work to support the social structure we've created that's very expensive, that we expect to take care of us. We're not going to have as many workers to pay for more retired people. It's a mathematical equation that doesn't seem to be working out.
No, it is, and this is an issue, a larger issue that it doesn't seem that we've prepared for. But for us at the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada, there's no one solution for this problem. But the recommendations that we look at, Statistics Canada found in 2007 that 22% of seniors lived in care homes, 78% were still living at home receiving care.
Sure.
And in the sense that the care for parents and grandparents starts at home, what can individuals and their families do in terms of getting to know the services that are available in their town or city that would allow them to receive care at home? Do we know those well enough? Is it possible that if children and grandchildren live geographically far away from grandparents, you know, there's lots of people already now in retirement homes who aren't being visited. What about the possibility of adopting a grandparent in your local community? I think a great way to, with parent supervision, of course, but a great way to encourage someone living in a retirement home, and a great way to build a bridge between generations if we look at adopt-a-parent kind of...
I can see some resistance there, Derek, but interesting concept. The expectations also are there, it seems, that the boomers are going to have more, I don't know why this is, but could you explain it? The caregivers think that the boomers are going to have more complex medical conditions. Why is that?
Well, the first thing there is that they're seeing more people come in with dementia issues. With Alzheimer's, for example, and Alzheimer's much more complicated to care for than I don't know, a broken leg. But also, one home that responded in the survey said that the average age of their residents was ranged from 88 to 100. So as you have people coming into these homes at a much later age, they do have much more complex health care needs. It may not just be one issue, one health issue. It may be diabetes and congestive heart failure, and two or three things in one resident that this home needs to care for. And more complex care, that's what I mean by more complex care, and that requires more intense care on behalf of staff, which, you know, raises the issue both today that, and keep in mind that this is a survey of Ottawa long-term care homes, so the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada isn't saying this applies to Calgary or it applies to Canada as a whole, but it's, one home replied that it wasn't just an issue of their residents, it was also an issue that their staff are growing older and that they have baby boomers on their staff who tire more quickly and recover less quickly.
Yeah, right.
And so if you're going to have higher demands of care, you're going to need to have more staff.
Well, I'm going to talk about staff in a bit, Derek. Hang on a second. Derek Meadham, a researcher and author of this report, Getting Ready for the Boom, and right, done with some Ottawa care centers, but we can extrapolate this across the country. No reason why it wouldn't be different elsewhere. We'll come back after this.
He's absolutely right. He's Rutherford on CHQR. Left or right, Dave wants to hear from you at 1-800-563-7770. Rutherford on AM 770 CHQR.
We're talking about long-term care again, and this in the broader view, not the specifics in Alberta, which have very many levels of care, from, you know, a lot of medically based care to more residential care. The medical part is provided by the province of Alberta. It's the accommodation, the food, etc., your surroundings that most people will be paying for if they can. There are subsidies available. So there is really a mixed bag of things available. From those who want to pay, you know, sort of high-end accommodations, to those who want to pay somewhat less. There's graduated ones, and some of these are, I have seen some of these, and they are fantastic. Moving from a residential environment, you can have a bungalow on the property, own it, then gradually move yourself into more care as your needs increase. Absolutely great stuff. But are there going to be enough of these? Derek Meadham with me, doing some research with the Institute for Marriage and Family Canada on these issues. And he talked to staff in existing facilities about their expectations of the future with boomers all coming to the door at the same time. I guess, Derek, part of the issue, of course, is staff. You mentioned that many of the staff themselves are in the same age group. So Is this sort of a warning here, a red flag for training institutions to crank up training for these people?
Well, that's part of it. I know that, for example, Alberta is an exception to the rule in terms of declining school enrollment, So to put it very clearly, I think someone going into university right now, if you want to have a career that is going to be stable and rewarding and long-term, go into elder care. And that part of that is that colleges and universities are going to need to, they're going to need to gauge this, of course, because colleges and universities can't simply throw open the doors and hope more students come.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to need more nurses. We're going to need more registered nurses,
yep,
and more registered practical nurses. So
yep,
colleges and universities do need to ramp up the number of spots in their programs. Okay. And I would say that really anyone, any young person that's considering a career that would be involved in any sort of care, see how it can fit in terms of caring for seniors.
Yep. Yep.
Could you do occupational therapy? Could you do physiotherapy? Could you do speech therapy? Could you be a dietitian? Could you do foot care? Could you do orthopedics? It's a long list of things that could then tie into caring for seniors.
And I think generally speaking, we are going to have a worker shortage in this country in all disciplines, I think, Derek, in the not too distant future. So you're absolutely right. The competition for these jobs is going to be out there. And if you want to work with people, why not look at this kind of care? Absolutely right. Now, the schools, as you say, which are funded by governments, are going to have to get their faculties revved up here and get going on this because, let's see, 60, you know, we're talking 10 years here, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the next 10 years or so, we're going to see a real push? 15?
Yeah, 10 to 15 years.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's going to be about it. And then people like me are going to be seeking this kind of care, various
mm-hmm.
levels of it, but something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with you on that, that's for sure.
Yeah, and so it's, you know, colleges and universities need to start now, really, if they're going to be able to have people out the door ready to start working in 10 to 15 years.
Is there also advice here to families, Derek? I mean, that's what the Institute is about.
Mm-hmm.
Is the message to families that they should be prepared to take care of their parents more?
The message is that families ideally would be having a discussion that we as children could know, mom and dad, how and where do you want to be cared for as you grow older?
Answer number one, I love my independence, I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Answer number one.
Yes.
Frustrating.
Yes, and so let's as the need approaches, you talked during the break, I think, and it's great you had that previous discussion earlier in this week about specifics in Alberta. Get to know what's available in your community. Get to know what services are available in your community for you to be able to stay at home as long as possible. And
right,
by you, I'm saying you in general.
Yeah, I agree.
And if it's from the kids' perspective, get to know the services that are available for your parents in
yeah.
their community that would allow them to stay home as long as possible.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, something as simple as Meals on Wheels.
Yeah.
A great service.
Yeah.
A fantastic service.
So, okay, talk about this. Get some indications known. It can be threatening to seniors, but you're going to have to talk about this as a family, without a doubt. A couple of quick calls before we go. Courtney, hello.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey.
I actually did a little research yesterday on senior housing facilities.
Yeah.
REITs in general, Real Estate Investment Trust.
Yeah.
There's one called Chartwell Seniors Housing.
Yeah.
They have 38,650 suites in 270 communities.
Right.
Their market capitalization is about $650 million.
Yeah.
A big one is Extendicare, yeah. REIT. They have 226 U.S. senior care facilities
yeah.
with 18,634 residents. Canada, they have 81 facilities with 11,394. Now, if you break down the cost per room, if you were just to purchase them outright, you're talking about $20,000 a room. So that's why I'm kind of wondering what the expense is for these seniors, the senior housing. It would be the nursing, obviously, and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But also looking at the different housing, like Boardwalk, Real Estate Investment Trust.
Yeah. All right. Courtney, you're telling me there's lots of options.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Same with the Northern Property, REIT. That's an interesting one because that gets into social housing. But
right.
These are all public. They're all publicly listed.
Sure.
They're all in the stock market.
Sure.
So I don't know. I did a little research.
Right.
I heard the topic, and I thought I'd just.
Courtney, thanks for that. All right. I mean, what he's telling us is there's lots of options out there. I've seen some of them that are just fantastic, but there are options now. That comes the clash, Derek. I know you didn't address this in your study, but we've been debating this in Alberta.
Mm-hmm.
The clash between public and private expectations of the government. Should the government be running, long-term care facilities themselves? Should there be partnerships with the private sector? There's a real mix. So,
well, and the issue for us is not public versus private. It becomes an issue of family and community family and community or government, and what's the mix going to be?
Yeah.
Because I found that one of the pressures that these homes faced is how to provide services within the level of funding they got from the Ontario Ministry. But I also found that the Ontario Ministry is running a budget of $39.5 billion for 2007-2008.
Yeah.
And that's not sustainable to have that expand, if the same level of funding was maintained and the level of the number of people increases as we expect it to, that's just not sustainable. So we cannot expect government to carry the bill for this.
Good point. Derek Miedema, thanks for your time today, Derek.
Thank you very
Good
much.
Good to talk to you.
My pleasure.
With the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada.